WZH910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The war in Ukraine will be one of the topics for President Biden and President Macron of France tomorrow in Paris, says the White House. We'll also talk about Gaza, says White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby.
Talking about the way we have been pushing hard for this new proposal to get the hostages out and to get a ceasefire started.
Assaulted by a man on a square in the capital of Copenhagen, Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen, says the state news agency. Not hurt. There's an arrest. No word what it was about. Three people are injured, one critical, and two shark attacks off two beaches in the Florida Panhandle today. Two children, two adults in critical condition after their small plane crashed near Denver. Wall Street major indexes lower over concerns about the strong monthly jobs reports for May from the government and if it'll cause the Federal Reserve to not lower interest rates as quickly. This is ABC News. Stealing Legos becoming increasingly common.
In recent months, there have been high-dollar busts in which people are allegedly stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Legos from stores and reselling them online to make big money. This week, the LAPD arrested two people, and in a separate case, somebody is hitting small hobby stores east of L.A. Katie Luschner owns a store, Bricks and Minifigs.
Stores are trying to work together to bolster up that security.
And it's not only California. From Florida to Oklahoma, police are battling the same Lego problem. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A new recall has been issued for more than 1.2 million rechargeable lights. The integrated light bars from Good Earth Lighting have batteries that could overheat and catch on fire, with one possible consumer death being investigated over inhaling smoke from one of those fires. A fond farewell tonight for Wheel of Fortune TV host Pat Sajak, signing off after 41 years. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers is asking for audits of Milwaukee public schools. That's in addition to the financial audit already underway. This comes after Milwaukee schools failed to turn in financial reports due last September. Now, the state is withholding more than $16 million in aid. Evers' proposed audits would look into the functionality and effectiveness of Milwaukee's public schools. The scandal at Waupun Prison is renewing talks of replacing the aging state prisons at Waupun and Green Bay. State Representative Mark Bourne says the lockups are too old to remodel.
Both of those facilities, they're built in such a different way that refurbishing them is very difficult, very expensive. It would be hard to make them useful in a modern prison way.
Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt recommends remodeling or rebuilding. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers look to bounce back. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers are in Detroit for a weekend series against the Tigers after being swept earlier this week by Philadelphia. But manager Pat Murphy says the Philly series will help the team going forward.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League. Hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Milwaukee continues to juggle its roster as 8 pitchers and 9 total players are on the DL. First pitch in Detroit is scheduled for 5:40 p.m. The Boston Celtics took Game 1 of the NBA Finals, winning 107-89 over the Dallas Mavericks. Jaylen Brown scored 22 points, while Jason Tatum had 16 points and 11 rebounds. Game 2 is Sunday night. 3 state high school championships are this weekend. State softball and tennis are today and tomorrow in Madison, and the first ever state lacrosse championship is Saturday in Sun Prairie. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds return to the area tonight, some rain developing late, and lows in the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a couple of showers early, then maybe some sunny peaks in the afternoon. Highs upper 60s. Sunshine's back for Sunday, high low 70s. It's 67 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Joe Zepecki here to talk about Project 2025, two women on the opposite side of the abortion issue and a way to make flying a little more enjoyable. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss here on Native Roots Radio local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Just thought I'd pop up the applause button there because, you know, it's good to do the show with you, Haley, because I'm right once a day here, and I really appreciate it. Hey, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and we have a lot to talk about. This might take a couple segments here, but welcome, State Senator.
Well, thank you, everyone. Mataki ape. I hope everybody's having a really lovely, lovely day here. It's such a gorgeous day in Minnesota. It's what, mid-70s, mm-hmm. Light breeze,
no humidity.
It's mm-hmm. hard, no humidity. I'm not seeing any bugs fly through my house, so it's just a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah, well, I left State Senator, I left Wendy. I was in New York for 10 days, and we're right by the ocean, and you know, my hair and bald spots were showing. It was just the uh-huh. humidity was crazy.
So your hair doesn't go crazy curly or anything in the humidity?
It goes flat, and then, you know, every alley has or every block has an alley, so my hair starts parting down the middle like a big alley. And so we have to look for a baseball cap, and thank goodness my Chujunk here gave me a light-colored baseball cap to wear on these walks.
You don't just like do a comb over or anything like that?
Not yet.
The best of them do.
soon. Hey, enough of this jibber jabber. We have some serious things to talk about. We saw you yesterday at a very, very important opening. And I know Haley and I talked about this yesterday, and it was like very emotional for us to listen and see how well Red Lake works together with themselves, but also all the great help from the legislators that were there, like yourself, and talk about the great things that college is going to be bringing everyone here in Indian country.
Yeah, it was probably one of the most like uplifting good pieces of news that we've had for so long. And we're talking about the Red Lake Nation just opened a new college in Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis, right across from the stadium. Not only is it a gorgeous building, they were able to preserve one of the old buildings and kind of work around it. If you can, Google it and look at the picture of it. It's just beautiful. Like I said, it's across from the stadium, so they are open to renting that space for events. There's a big patio, outdoor patio up on the top. And I mean, just the physicalness of it is so inspiring, but also the programming that they have and the support systems that they have in place for the students to show success is just, I mean, just like really so exemplar. I know we've talked about graduation rates and dropout rates for our Native kids. And I think it's really important that we remember that, you know, only about 75% of our Native kids across the nation actually graduate from high school. And sometimes people think, you know, it's not that necessary. But oftentimes then the options that they have for jobs are not kind of sustainable jobs. And that graduation rate is the lowest of any group of people in the United States. And I think that's a challenge to all Native folks to get that. But the other part of it is that I read that only about 9.3% of American Indian folks graduate from college, which I thought was awfully low because, you know, if you look around, the people that I'm working with here in the Twin Cities and around the nation, many of them have incredible degrees and advanced degrees, and maybe they're just like the top echelon of that. But I think it's a trend that's changing, and I think we saw that in some of the examples that they shared yesterday at that grand opening. The young woman that spoke, the student, what was her name?
Yeah, Summer? I can't remember. Yeah,
Summer May.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, this young woman came to the Twin Cities to go to the school. She talked about the incredible support that she had, the programs and the coursework that she was able to take. And she had such poise and spoke so eloquently. I was very, very impressed. And I know that Chief King, the president of the college, made a comment about he expects her to be chair of the tribe one day. Yeah. So I was just very, very impressed with what was going on there and the number of people and the engagement of the tribe as well. It was fabulous.
Yeah, it really was. And they're starting out. Well, first of all, let me back up a second. Their headmaster or the president of the college is a Harvard grad. All these things falling into place. It was one of his visions to do this, because we know we have the college up in Red Lake, but we also have 50,000 Native Americans living in the Twin Cities. We also have 8,000 or so of their 17,000 tribal citizens living in the Twin Cities. So this is all good medicine that makes sense. And I, being a tribal leader myself, was very, very impressed on how well their leadership worked together to make this happen.
Yeah, it was definitely a shared vision. And I think everybody came at it from maybe a different experience or different educational level or leadership level, as well as financial level. But yeah, it was really a heartwarming experience, and it was good to see some of the other leadership from other tribes there to participate in the celebration. And hopefully it sort of inspires all of them to work now together to ensure that not only this college is going to you know, get even better, because I think they were talking, this is just a 2-year school, like a community college, but they're hoping to have a full college. And of course, across the United States, there aren't very many Native colleges at all.
Right.
So Minnesota is moving ahead.
Yeah. And not only that, it's free tuition. It's also, you get a free computer, free backpack, free Wi-Fi. And these things, again, are game changers for anyone, but especially our community, which, you know, lacks the funding a lot of times.
Yeah, that access to technology and internet, you know, is such a huge thing. And I think my message yesterday was knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. And when our students don't have access to it, whether that's at the elementary level, high school, junior high, college, you know, we're doing a terrible, terrible disservice. And we are certainly building that knowledge divide. And so the fact that they're able to make sure that everybody has those resources is just, you know, the best ever.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're having our fun little fireside chat during the nice, beautiful weather here in Minnesota. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian Country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian Country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're just kind of chewing the fat here. This month, May went by really quick. My birthday month went really fast, and maybe next year I'll extend it to 2 months. But we also are celebrating. I don't know if it was celebrating. I don't know. Maybe I'd like to get your thoughts on this. But on June 2nd, 1924, Native Americans became legally citizens of their own country.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and I'm sure they don't talk about that in school.
No, they don't. I think I was trying to think about this the other day, what kind of education we were raised with. And I remember the discussion about like the Dawes Act or the Snyder Act, but it was just really vanilla, bland information. And you just, memorize the title and the date and a sentence about, you know, or you had to match it. Remember, you know, when you have to draw a line to match which one it was. But there was never any real discussion about that. And I don't know about you. Well, Robert, you were raised in a Native family, right?
Right.
But you knew you were Native, right?
Yeah. And it's funny, too. That's a whole nother show. But the BIA said I was like 1/16th Native until I found my birth mother, which is another story. But yeah.
Yeah. But so a lot of us that weren't raised on the reservation or raised in a traditional way knew bits and pieces of stuff. And that's kind of how I felt. And I remember hearing stories from my grandfather. He was born out on Fort Berthel in South Dakota and Standing Rock tribal member that came to Minnesota as a young man. And, you know, when I think back, 1924, he was married to my, well, maybe he hadn't married my grandma, who was a white woman. But here he's married to, you know, a non-Native person who is a citizen, who can vote, albeit she's a woman. So she had limited roles and abilities to do the things that she wanted to. But that was just before my mom was born. So imagine if you were born to somebody who couldn't vote and they're indigenous to this nation, to this world. And I suppose they thought if they waited long enough, we'd all be gone and then we wouldn't have to worry about citizenship or anything like that.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned your great grandma. Would that be your, or
my grandma and grandpa?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she just got the right to vote a few years before that.
I know. I know. It's crazy that people just didn't have that ability to make the decisions about who they elected. But I think it's just really important that we recognize it's only been 100 years. And I know there were some instances where tribal people could, Native folks could get their citizenship, like if they served in a war or, you know, back in the day when there was the allotment period. There were times or there were places where they would trade voting rights for Native lands. And it was, I'm sure at that point, you just don't know the value of the land. And if you're starving on the land and they're going to say, here's some other things you can do and you can vote, you might take that choice. But then the problem is how many of our tribal members, how many Native folks really got out and vote, and how many still do that today are not voting. So it's a really troubled history, and we didn't have the ability to elect people that made decisions for us. They weren't able to do things like what's the movie, the with Lily in it.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah. And remember how she had to have a white person managing all of their finances because they weren't allowed to. And of course, back then they didn't have voting rights and that sort of thing. And that was just one way to control the land and the money. And hopefully, you know, eventually the eradication of indigenous people.
Yeah, there's been, whether it's boarding schools, whether it's moving natives off reservation and promising them jobs, there's been shady history that have been trying to remove us. And I not to revert back to the first segment, but, you know, one of the things Sam Strong said is that they've been trying to get rid of us for hundreds and hundreds of years, and we're still here, and we're building a college right in the middle of Minneapolis.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, the things that have happened in the last 8 years of my tenure as a legislator from when I began, and nobody paying any attention to Native issues, tribal rights, conferring with the tribes on issues that really affect them closely, to what we do now is really huge. And the amount of legislation that we're able to pass that are going to have positive effects, not just on, you know, reservations in Minnesota, but the urban Indian community is phenomenal compared to just 8 years ago. Mm. You know, we have Indian education for all. That's a mandatory program in our schools. Many of the schools are starting in native language classes. It's phenomenal, the progress that we've made, but it's taking a lot of people working together and supporting each other and trusting each other to do the work that we're able to do this.
I know, bouncing around, sorry about that, but when you were talking about the way the things were with your grandma and your grandfather and how, you know, we had to, you know, I even believe my grandma, which would be Haley's great grandma, she had to lie and say that she wasn't full Native so she could own land. Mm-hmm. And so then what shakes out is, okay, now we got blood quantum. And now people are like getting X'd out that shouldn't be being X'd out. Nobody should be X'd out, by the way. We should all be going by lineage and not blood quantum. That's just a way to get rid of us. And so we hear these stories. We hear these stories about $5 Indians that they pay $5. They could join a tribe and steal everything and live on the land. And they're not even Native American. So all these things. There's books and books that should be written on this that tell the story, and it's a tragic story for our relatives, and we're seeing the good part of this whole history right now, as you were saying earlier, that they suffered through so horribly.
I think back on what our ancestors, or almost any ancestors really, went through back in the day, and how anybody ever lived through it, or, you know, was able to, you know, we always think we want the next generation to be better and wealthier and better educated, have more and more opportunities. But for so many generations, that was not the case for Indigenous people. And I think we're seeing a good turnaround. Mm-hmm. And again, it comes to leadership, and it comes to getting educated and putting yourself in positions where you can make those decisions that are going to have positive effect on the communities.
Absolutely. And it's a double-edged sword in a lot of ways, that we see how well we're living as opposed to our relatives, but we still have a long way to go. We still have a lot of things happening to us because of what happened to us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Native women are still the highest, the most vulnerable population in the United States. And again, you know, I've been working on the missing and murdered Indigenous women relatives now for 7 good years here in Minnesota, and we established that permanent office. But there's still so much work to do, and our Native women are still going missing at the highest rates. And, you know, really and truly, until that is down to a negligible amount, we still have so much work to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, just being a Facebook user, I still see it. I still see people missing, men, women, children, in the Native way. So I want to amplify what you just said there, because it's the beginning, and we got to keep the momentum, and we need to hire more, or not hire, we need to vote and have people, Native Americans, BIPOC people, and especially Native Americans, run for office.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The war in Ukraine will be one of the topics for President Biden and President Macron of France tomorrow in Paris, says the White House. We'll also talk about Gaza, says White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby.
Talking about the way we have been pushing hard for this new proposal to get the hostages out and to get a ceasefire started.
Assaulted by a man on a square in the capital of Copenhagen, Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen says the state news agency not hurt. There's an arrest. No word what it was about. Three people are injured, one critical, and two shark attacks off two beaches in the Florida Panhandle today. Two children, two adults in critical condition after their small plane crashed near Denver. Wall Street major indexes lower over concerns about the strong monthly jobs reports for May from the government and if it'll cause the Federal Reserve to not lower interest rates as quickly. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Alice Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Even after a year of deep budget cuts, seven University of Wisconsin schools are still more than $17 million in debt. UW Oshkosh has run through all its reserves. That's a first for the UW system. The other schools are Eau Claire, Parkside, River Falls, Stevens Point, Superior, and Whitewater. More and more senior citizens are falling victim to Medicare scams. The program loses around $60 billion a year to fraud, errors, and abuse. Medicare program manager Sherry Smith says scammers often call senior citizens looking to steal their Medicare numbers.
They'll say, I'm from Medicare and we're calling to confirm your number. Is it 12345? You go, oh no, it's 678910. And you've just given them your Medicare number.
Smith says Medicare doesn't call people at home, so just hang up. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Pat Sajak's days of letting contestants know they blew it in his not-so-subtle way may be over, but he took one more opportunity last week to mock a contestant. The correct answer was facts and figures, and a contestant named Allison guessed boats and hangers. Pat remarked, so not close. He told her the correct answer, opened the envelope, and let her know she lost out on $40,000. Don't worry, Allison, that game is a lot easier when you have the answer in your hand or the comfort of your own living room. In more snarky Sajak news, Pat is not retiring. According to Deadline, Sajak is in Honolulu, Hawaii, executive producing and starring in a murder mystery play based on the pilot episode of TV's Columbo called Prescription Murder. The show is actually a fundraiser for other theaters in Hawaii, and Sajak's run will go through August of 2025. Sajak has been hosting Wheel of Fortune since 1981. Who knew that all those years he really just wanted to do dinner theater? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds return to the area tonight, some rain developing late, and lows in the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a couple of showers early, then maybe some sunny peaks in the afternoon. Highs upper 60s. Sunshine's back for Sunday, high low 70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, I just don't get it. What was in it for them?
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison and welcome up-and-coming singer-songwriter Katie Scullin, who performs live in studio. And I'm joined by Civic Media News Director and comedy enthusiast Terry Bell.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working with clients to perform, design, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
They are awesome, and please give them a call. They do a great job, and they're a new partner here at Native Roots or Roots Radio. I still can't say that right. Boots, Roots, Native
Boots, Roots.
Roots,
Auntie, Auntie.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we always enjoy all these years with the State Senator. What are we going to do when we retire? I suppose we'll still do the radio show, huh?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Until we're 100 years old, huh? Yeah, you know, they said that people who become grandparents at an older age tend to live longer. So, having, you know, just recently in the last couple of years become a grandparent, and I know you're going to be a grandparent very soon, mm-hmm. Robert.
Yeah.
I guess we can expect another 40 years, huh?
Yeah. Well, we had Bob Blake on, and I think we're supposed to be down to zero emissions by 2050, and I'll be 90, so I don't know if I'll know the difference, but I might be around that long.
Yeah. Have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah. I'm going for a walk right after the show, because I was getting those 15, 20,000 steps at the on the boardwalk in Long Beach, but since I've been home for a day and a half, I haven't really gotten out there, but I'm kind of resting a little bit here, and I'll go out later.
Well, like we said, it's a lovely, lovely day, and it always feels good to get out and move around.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully we're not making anybody out there in Indian Country feel jealous, because we do have the perfect weather here. When it's not humid, we have the greatest summers in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder what we're going to start seeing as far as people moving from the south back up to the north because of the temperatures, the high temperatures. I have a brother that's going to Las Vegas this weekend. Ugh. I think it's supposed to be like 106 degrees there.
Yep. It's a little early for that.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's over 100 for a number of days. And so, and I think Florida and you know, the deep south, is the temperature is just rising, just like it is here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But when you're that hot to begin with, or that warm to begin with, I can't imagine that those folks are going to want to live down there much longer when you have to stay in your house the entire time in air conditioning. The cost, the, you know, unhealthiness of it, of not being able to get out and move around, see people, do mm-hmm. things. So yeah, it'll be interesting in the next couple of years to see how many people migrate back to the up north. I know there was a huge migration after many of the states put in violated trans rights and LGBTQ rights and reproductive rights. I know so many people that actually moved to Minnesota for those reasons.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. That's a good observation. I know a lot of people were moving to the Twin Cities, and they went up and stayed at Duluth. I heard some report that Duluth has like 10,000 more people from all over the country moved up there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the state. You can't beat that Lake Superior, except maybe in the winter when it's really stormy, or if you're on a ship, right. Barge out there. It's beautiful country up there. I don't know who wouldn't really want to live up there, but it'll be very, very interesting to see how things go. And I worked on some legislation with our Posse Caucus in the Senate. That Posse Caucus is people of color, indigenous. So all of us folks of color have our own little caucus, and we work on issues. And legislation that affect our unique communities. And one of the issues is around land that is taken from by the county for tax forfeiture, and how that land is sort of resold. And Senator Paugh, who is a senator here just in the Brooklyn Center area, is an incredible real estate person. And she was talking about how hard it is for folks to get loans for those pieces of land, and how the county will often, some of the counties will finance the purchase of that land, and county does the financing. You don't have to go out and get a mortgage or anything like that. And I just think that that's really important as we're looking forward on how to get those lands into the hands of folks, and with like no minimum deposit down, because you know how hard it is to get any down payment, and then to be able to keep those payments up. So I think we'll see some changes in our population across Minnesota in the next couple of years. And I think it'll be a lot to do with climate change. And also, I hope education, because as education chair, I am just bound and determined to continue to do the good work in that way.
Yeah, definitely. You were parading yesterday. That's part of your job, is getting out there and shaking hands and kissing babies, not only your grandbabies, but everybody else's. That's kind of an exciting time to be, especially with the support your community has for you.
Yeah, it's election year, not for me, because I have a 4-year term, so I'm just in the middle of mine. But our state representatives, all of them have to get reelected this year. But one of the things I really do enjoy is going to our community parades. And we had one up in Spring Lake Park yesterday, or Fridley, their Towers Day. And it was a lot of fun. It's good to see people out and about, you know, just people lining the sidewalks, waving and saying hello. And there are a few people that kind of frowned on the new flag that was flying in the vehicle I was riding with Representative Erin Cagle, who's up for reelection, and she had the new Minnesota flag. But a lot of people were like, "Yay!" giving us the thumbs up, and a couple are like, but it's all in good spirit. Everybody's out, and just a good sense of community.
Yeah. Well, I can't. There's two things that are on my list now that I'm back from New York, and one of them is to get my license plate changed and also get a state flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one she had was beautiful. The star was almost embroidered. It wasn't just like flat canvas. Mm-hmm. And so I have to find out where she got that. But I'm seeing more and more of those flags flying, and more of the MMIR license plates.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I always try to look in the window, like, do I know that person in there? And I still, to this day, every time I've looked, it hasn't been somebody that I know, which is really great, because that means people, all kinds of people are buying that license plate. And just to remind folks, it's a missing and murdered Indigenous relatives license plate here in Minnesota. It's a specialty license plate, and all of the funds that the specialty rate for that license plate goes directly to the missing and murdered Indigenous relatives office here in our state government. And they can use that for rewards. They'll use that for searches or the work that needs to be done to in looking for and finding and keeping our community safe. So I hope you get one of those license plates, Robert.
That's exactly what I was alluding to. Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Can you get them personalized too? I know I've seen.
Yeah.
So that's a little more money. And I'm trying to think, what's the name of this former president of Prairie Island? Shelley Buck, right?
Yep.
she has one. I was at a meeting with her with Met Council, and she was in the same parking lot as me. Said, "Oh, that I got to go see who that is." And it was Shelly. She has one, right? She must have got them right away.
What does hers say?
It just has numbers.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have a special. I chose mine, and I put Wachoni, which means respect and honor. But you can only have 6 letter number combination, and when you go in there, they'll ask you for 3 different ones in case somebody already has the one that you wanted. Mm. Like I know the director of the MMIR office chose MMIW, maybe like 00 or 11. I don't remember exactly what it was. So I chose something that wasn't going to be something that she might duplicate hers. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, be prepared and have 3 different choices. And if nobody's taken the one that you chose as your first one, then you get that. If somebody already has that, then it'll go to the next couple. I was at the desk and they told me that. I was like, well, I don't even know what my other choices would be.
Yeah.
And had to come up with something really fast. So that's what I did.
Well, mine would be either pilot or is it 7 letters or numbers? I can't even remember. If it was 7, some way I got to spell Ho-Chunk and probably without a K or an N or something or a U or a C or an O or an H.
One of them.
I'll have to figure that out because that's what I want on mine is Ho-Chunk. And so maybe H-Chunk.
Yeah. Or Ho and then C-H-N-K.
Say that again.
Ho.
Yeah.
And then C-H-N-K. Take out the U.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh. Yeah.
Haley, we're doing that again.
Jinx again.
Jeez. Well, heck, we only got 30 minutes here. What's your week look like? Or 30 seconds left. What's your week look like?
Next week is not such a busy week for me, which is great. I'm having some work done on my house, so I'm getting that ready. But end of June, July, August, I'm really busy going to conferences and family things, so it's nice. I'm getting a few books in and spending time with the grandkids and getting rested up, got my hair cut, all that good stuff, glasses, everything.
We'll send a Native Concrete over too to give you an estimate.
Perfect.
Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back right after this short break. Stay with us.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, don't make me say this.
I'm posting your baby photos on my social media.
Fine. My dad is the original Minnesota Mac Daddy, Matt McNeil.
Darn tootin'.
This summer, after graduating college, I'm going on a road trip across America, and I'm driving the RAV4 from Rudy Luther Toyota. The RAV4 is a perfect vehicle for both city and outdoor driving. It's comfortable, it's a hybrid, and it's fun to drive.
Son, it is fun. Test drive the RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 just west of downtown Minneapolis.
End-of-life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care.
It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and I learned so much from you and all these years, and you are a founder of Native Roots Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that, as always. I have some good news here. This is news from last week. So really 8 days ago, May 30th, 2024, and this is from News 10 San Diego. Yellowstone National Park's oldest wolf gave birth to three pups this spring. Yep, Wolf 907 has lived nearly four times the average lifespan of a wolf and just gave birth to her 10th litter of pups. The oldest wolf in Yellowstone National Park is known as Wolf 907. The 10th litter has just started to come out from its den, said Kira Casey, a research associate with the Yellowstone Wolf Project. The three pups are now to be 4 weeks old, so they're just five weeks old now because this is a week old, and have started to crawl around. Wolf's 907's current den is visible from the roadway. She's just over 11 years old. The oldest one we've ever recorded is 12 and a half, Casey said. We know of at least five wolves that were captured and radio collared that are her direct offspring, she said. Last year, Wolf 907 old had one pup survive in her litter. Quote, she has now lived almost four times longer than the average wolf. On average, they only live to about 3 or 4 years old, Casey said. We've only recorded two that have made it to 12 years old, she said. Only 26 collared wolves have made it to age 10. Wolf 907, the current leader of the Junction Buttle Pack in the northern part of Yellowstone National Park, has also lived most of her life with only one eye, as discovered through a trail cam video. It happened at some point between the time she was 10 months old and 4 years old, and we're not sure what happened, Casey said. It doesn't seem to hold her back at all. Generally, experts say wolves don't die of old age. They face many challenges, including vehicles and humans. Quote, it's always some kind of really dramatic kind of death. About half of them die when two packs fight each other over territory. They will also die while they are hunting large prey like elk or bison. They might get kicked or gored, Casey said. However, older and more experienced wolves can help younger wolves be cautious of these dangers. Quote, they can get experience that being successful is something that they can teach them, the younger pack mates, said Casey. Right now, about 25% of the wolves in Yellowstone National Park are collared. The Yellowstone Wolf Project started in 1995 after wolves were relocated to the park. It is one of the most detailed studies of a large carnivore in the world, according to Yellowstone Forever. the nonprofit partner of Yellowstone National Park. More work is now being done on the social dynamics of wolves. Gray wolves have previously been hunted to extinction by the 1920s before the reintroduction. So that's a great story. 907, best wishes with your three pups, and we hope that they live a long and prosperous life. We're always happy when pups are born and survive and do well. So I'm really happy about that. So congratulations. Let's see what else we have here. A couple of new things here. It's Fun Fact Friday, so I wanted to just share that. I've been collecting memes off of Facebook and other social media that are kind of funny and fun, and I've been sharing those every Friday. Last week, I'm going to repeat this one. It just shows the inside of a brain of a dog and an inside of the brain of a cat. And inside the dog, things like love, play, sleep, sniff, loyalty, protect family, food, and dig is inside the brain of the dog. But inside the cat's brain or the mind is food, sleep, and murder. And then one has a question mark. So I thought that was really funny. I wanted to share that again. Here's another one that I thought was pretty funny. There's a woman and she's looking at her dog and the dog is looking back at her. And the woman says to the dog, "The neighbor tells me you were out chasing people on a bicycle." And the dog said, "He's lying. I don't even have a bicycle." Da-dum-bum. I thought that was pretty funny. Then there was another one, a meme of, I don't know if people know this, but when you're Catholic, I don't know if they do it in other religions, but when you're Catholic and you have to go to confession, you go into like this little booth and there's the priest on one side and you're sitting on the other side and there's like, you really can't see the priest. There's like this little foggy window that you look through and you could talk to the priest. But anyway, there's the priest sitting there and on the other side of the window is a little dog and he's confessing to the priest, "I acted like I had been fed and got a second breakfast." I think Wanda does that. You know what? She really plays us. I think like, you know, like I'll give her some food and then she'll see Robert and she'll act like really, really hungry and want to eat again. So she tricks us. So now we always have to ask each other. I'll always be like, "Robert, did Wanda eat?" And Robert will say, "Yes, I just fed her." And I'll be like, "Oh, okay," because she's looking at me kind of hungry. There is a thing called single kitten syndrome. Yeah, I didn't really know that this was a thing, but it's true. It says here that felines are social animals and typically live in colonies, and kittens need interaction with other kittens for healthy social development. And isolating a kitten can delay their developmental, emotional, and if they have a little friend, it really helps them. So kittens learn to play, they learn behavioral boundaries from other kittens. And while humans are great, they can't provide the same kind of feedback and play that other kittens provide. So if you in the market for a kitten, always try to get two because two is better than one. And I would say that with older cats too. You know, Robert and I, we did take a chance when we went to the shelter. We just saw two cats. They didn't know who they were. You know, the two cats did not know each other. So we picked these two old cats and we were like, "Okay, let's bring them home and see what happens." Uh-oh, you know, we were a little bit worried, but you know, they hissed at each other a couple of times, and honestly, they really just fell in love with each other, and they became best buddies. Yeah, so that would be Tommy and Princess, and they really did love each other. So here's another meme I have. It's really funny. It's this person laying on the ground with two dogs, and they're just, the two dogs are laying there too, and it says here, "Person, you should try to go out and make more friends." And it's, and this says me, person laying on the ground with the two dogs. So that's what I like to see.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for a statewide tour with our friend Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.